Get my glasses on here. Oh, Father. You know, I've been praying, well, actually for many years, for our family here. And one of the things that I've been praying for is the release of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some of us used to do it regularly. And I want you to hear this. The rocks that have been piled on that fountain are coming off. You will flow like a fountain in the things and the gifts of the Spirit. All right. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. All right. Well, we have been looking at the prayer of Jesus. Again, we'll hopefully get this. And this is part three. This is a concluding part of that. Let me go to the next slide. John 17. And I'm just going to do a really quick review. Again, when Jesus started praying, he wanted the Father glorified. He said, glorify. My time has come now. Be glorified. His time had been fulfilled. He had fulfilled everything except going to the cross at that point. Everything had been accomplished, and he says, now let your name be glorified. Jesus, we recognize, lived his life for something greater than his own comfort, his own pleasure, and his own ease. He lived his life to bring glory to the Father. And it's a challenge for us to do that sometimes, but it's a call for us as well to bring glory to the Father. Jesus walked right to the cross in obedience and death. And again, so that everything that happened from his birth to his death to his resurrection and his ascension would bring glory to the Father. And today we're going to start a verse that says, Jesus, again, his prayer, after Jesus said this, he looked up, this is verse 1, towards heaven, and he prayed. The prayer of Jesus, this is the most extensive prayer Jesus has made, and this one is actually referred to as the Lord's Prayer, and we've talked about that a bit. And I'm going to take us to the next scripture. We're going to jump way down to 17:20 and start here again. My prayer is not for them alone. Jesus was praying for his disciples, but he says, my prayer is not for them alone. My prayer is also for those who will believe in me through their message. So if you're sitting here this morning and you're one who has believed on Jesus, his prayer is for you. And we're just reminding ourselves of that. And again, that Jesus is a man of prayer. Hebrews 7:25. Again, therefore, he who is able to completely save those who come to God through him. Because he always lives to intercede for them. Jesus hasn't stopped praying for us. And that's incredible to think of. I don't know how he's praying and how differently he's praying than he did here, but he's still praying for you and I. That brings me comfort. I don't know about you. He's still speaking to the Father about us. We know that Jesus, as he was praying for his disciples, he was praying so that they could hear. And he said this, I've revealed you to those whom you have given me out of the world. We're not a part of this world anymore. We were gifts given from God to Jesus. And you know, ask yourself, have you ever thought of yourself as being a gift to Jesus? It's incredible because then Jesus turns around and gives us to the Father, and we'll look at the scripture in a few seconds here about they're gifts to both of them. And I think sometimes we don't understand how precious we are to the Lord. We are disciples, we're followers of Jesus. Why? Because we've accepted the words of Jesus. We've accepted Jesus. And we have received, we've lambando, we've taken hold of it, Jesus says. We carry it with us, the words that he has spoken, the truth about God in us. That we know within us, Jesus said, that with certainty that he came from God and that he was sent from God. And that's why we obey his word. We know who he is. Jesus goes on and says, I pray not for the world. None of this is for the world system and the unbeliever. He says, I'm praying this for the ones who are believing. For those that you have given me, for they are yours. Again, we've been given back to us. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. That comes back to us. Father's given to Jesus. Jesus is given back to the Father. Father gives to Jesus. It's all one. And then it says this, and glory has come to me through them. Do you realize that you give glory to Jesus? When you walk out, I don't know if you guys remember the pictures. When you comfort a little child, when you give somebody a cup of cold water, when you invite in a stranger or somebody, just ever made a friend with somebody that just looked like they needed a friend? It says when we clothe somebody. Anybody ever given clothes away to people? To brothers and sisters? Maybe have need. I've been on the receiving end of that. God, Jesus said, you know, if you do it to the least of these, you've done it to me. And when people, we don't do it, we do it that out of love. We feed a stranger, we remember the prisoner and give the cup of cold water. We do it out of love, not out of, is anybody watching? We do it out of love, but there are those that are watching. And when the world sees our loving acts done out of love, he's glorified. Glory has come to me through them. See, now we belong to the Father. We belong to Jesus, our Messiah. We're a part of the family of God. This morning, as we were in prayer before service, pre-service prayer, the Lord just showed me something amazing. You know, we look at one another, we call each other friends or whatever, but truthfully, as believers, we're brothers and sisters. That changes everything. It changes everything. When you look at somebody as your brother or your sister, not just as a neighbor or a friend, changes how we love. Sorry, I couldn't see from my own fingerprints. And we, as we love one another, as we care for one another, bring glory. To those of you who are parents, when your children are doing things for one another that bless them, that, you know, kind things, doesn't that just touch your heart? Does our Father as well. So we're going to move on now to verse 11, maybe. It says, I will remain in the world no longer, again, Jesus speaking, but they're still in the world. I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Well, we're going to do a little unpacking of that this morning. Protect them. What does it mean, protect them? By the power of your name. This verse is an example of Jesus using the idea of the name. If I say to you, Linda, or Tony, or Crystal, or Neil, or Kate, a name pops in, a face pops in, right? That's the name, but there's a person behind that name. And along with that person behind that name is what you know about them, their character, their likes, their interests, maybe if you get to know them more. Well, Jesus is by that name, by the name, the power of your name, protect them. When we speak the name of God, we're not speaking a magical spell or an incarnation. It's not just because we said the word. It's because that name invokes the image of our God, the power, the authority of him. I want to ask you something. Remember way back, you know, when there used to be great police shows on TV? You know, what was it, Adam 12 or something like that? I don't know. I'm really dating myself, right? But when you'd watch a TV show, and the police officer would come up, put up his hand, and what would he say? Stop in the name of the law. That's right. And the only reason that had any power is because of what was behind it. When we say the name of Jesus, it's not because we can say it, and it's because of the power that's behind it, the person who is behind it, the authority of the person who is behind it. Jesus prays for the disciples, protect them, protect their faith by the power and the authority of your name, Father. He's leveraging, again, God's name. Now, I want you to understand something. God's name and his acts and his glory are inseparable. They're all the same thing. In fact, when you look into Strong's and you see that what the word name in Strong's means, it means a name used to cover everything. It means everything that provokes the thought or the feeling that's aroused in our mind by the mentioning of it, by the hearing of it, by the remembering of it. It's, for example, one's rank or their authority, their interests, their pleasures, their command, their excellence, their deeds. So when we say the name of Jesus or when we say the name of God, do we hear his rank and his authority and his interests? Who's his interests? We are. His pleasure, his commands, his excellence, his deeds. To know it, to have intimacy with him. It goes on to say to know him and to know the benefits that we have, that he's there for help, that we can receive from him, and the profit we can receive from him and the advantage we receive from him. See, when we say his name, it's not just merely. And I'm going to ask you, how many times have you found yourself maybe just saying the name of Jesus or the name of God without really recognizing the power and the authority behind it? OMG. There's no power in that. Come and tell me, what is the third commandment? Say it, I'm going to get Kate to say it real loud. Nope, what's the third one? Crystal just said it. Do not take. We've often turned it into do not curse with his name. No, do not use his name just so flippantly and lightly that we forget the power. Jesus said, protect them by the power of your name. There's power in the name of God because of who God is and who we know him to be. We sang it this morning, our Father in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Jesus says, when you pray, pray like this. Get a hold of it, guys. Sometimes, again, I say, I'm saying this to myself. Man, thank you, Jesus, for this food. We ask your blessing on it in your name. Amen. That's me. I'm more interested in the salad. No, truthfully, the hamburger. Than the one who provided it for me. And taking a moment to recognize, my God has provided for me, before me, this food. Hallowed be your name. Look what the Lord has done. And that's just a salad. Which I shouldn't say is just a salad. That's amazing. When you think of the seed and the ground and where, how it, that's God. I didn't do anything for that. Not even the person who chopped it up and put it in the bowl for me. Even if it's me who did it. But anyway. Hallowed be your name. Remember back in verse 9, he says, I pray for them and not for the world. Holy Father, protect them us by the power of your name. I love this. Exodus 20:24. Anybody got it memorized? I challenge you to go home and do that, because this is what it says. Wherever I cause my name to be honored, I will come to you and bless you. Exodus 20:24. Got it memorized? Honor my name and I'll come to you and bless you. And then Jesus goes on to say in his prayer, he says, that same name I'm asking to protect them by that name, you gave it to me. John 14:14. That same name that's been given to Jesus says to his disciples, hello, are there any disciples out here today? 14:14. You may ask anything in my name. Hello? Do you hear that? Disciples, Jesus is saying to you, I have the authority. Ask anything in my name, and I will give it to you. And then we sit back. The other thing that was kind of prayed this morning, we kind of stand back and go, really? I don't know. Is he going to answer my prayer? Do you know my Jesus? Do you know the power and the authority that he has? And that when you ask in his name, what's the answer? I will do it. I will do it. Come on, that's good. Let's get our hearts in line with that. And then Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, who's he speaking to? All power and authority has been given to me in my name. Therefore, what's he telling us to do? Hello? It's not Pastor Shannon's job. It's all of ours. We take the good things of God. Hello. The goodness of God. The good things we've experienced with God. The people who know their God will display strength and take action. Daniel 11:32, and that's the New American Standard Bible's translation of it. We people will take action who know our God. I loved the song Keith had picked about singing Jesus. Yes, and healing. And the song that, as I was preparing, that came to me, and I thought, oh, I loved her song. And I thought I had a different song, but she's like, that's a good song too. But the song I was singing was, I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Why? Because I'm not just speaking a magical word. I'm speaking about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who has all authority, all powers and principalities are underneath his feet. And he says, come and ask me and it'll be done. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, because I know there is peace in your presence. So I speak Jesus. Anybody need peace? Anybody finding the world in a little bit of chaos? I just want to speak the name of Jesus. The Prince of Peace. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom, I speak what? I speak Jesus. And the chorus goes on, because your name is power, your name is healing, and your name is life. And we ask it, it says, shine through the shadows and burn like a light. Different song, but almost the same thing. The name of Jesus. And Jesus says, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. And he hasn't stopped praying for us. You know, the world, he says, I'm not praying for the world. Because they, this is according to Psalms 106:24, they despised the pleasant land. They did not believe his word. Psalm 50:17, for you, the world, hate discipline. You cast my word behind you. And who is the living word? Jesus. And Jesus continued on to pray that we would be one. Jesus, you know how often Jesus speaks about unity? The principle that he wants to share throughout his ministry was love one another. Love God, love one another. This is my commandment I'm leaving with you. Love one another. And it extended into the future, into what the Christian believers today. Unity. Loving one another. And I want to tell you this, when we love one another, there's the true evidence of the saving faith we believe. And when the world sees that, when the world sees that, they are changed. Not they are, but we are, you know what I mean? They're changed about believing. They see and believe. There's the saving in that. Psalm 133, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the beard, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down to the collars of his robe. It is like the dews of Hermon who are falling on Mount Zion. For the Lord bestows his blessing. Where's the unity in the where's the blessing? It's in the unity. Even life forevermore. Back to Exodus 20:24. Where I cause my name to be honored, I will come to you and be blessed. When we gather together in unity, there is blessing. Verse 12. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by your name that you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scriptures would be fulfilled. You know, I think of Judas and his choice here. We know that's who we're talking about. And we think Judas never really truly believed. He never got a hold of it. We know he was a thief. He stole from the ministry. We know he was always looking for self. He didn't quite believe that Jesus was who he said. He goes and he gets more money from the Pharisees to betray him. Betrays him with a kiss. He does come to a place afterwards where we know that he was tormented in his soul because of the guilt. He was guilty. How many of us have ever been guilty of something? But because his heart wasn't for the Lord, Satan got him with the shame. Such guilt and such shame. He went and threw his money back at the Pharisees. And then, of course, we know he went and did himself in. I bring that up to say, why did God put in Scripture this would happen? Did Judas know? Probably. Probably recognized who it was. Is that why he did it? I don't think so. I think it was because of the heartache. Because our God is different than that. He's a God of second chances and third and fourth. But you have to believe to receive it. He's there always, but if you choose not to, the choice is ours. You know, and I'm going to bring it this way because what came to mind as I'm reading all of this is this. We have leaders in place in our country and throughout the world that we go, oh, good grief, Lord, get them out of there. But let me read to you what Romans 13:1 says. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. Are you kidding me, God? Have you seen what's out there? You put them in place? The authorities that have existed have been established by God. So what do we do with that? God, do we think God's, well, God, you're an idiot because look who you put in place. We don't think that. At least I don't. Some people might. But. So God, what's going on? I'm a God of second chances. Before the foundations of the earth, I knew who was going to be in place and who I was going to put in place. I'm giving them the second chances to become the men and women I wanted them, I desired them to be, knowing him, established in him, and serving in leadership with him. But the choice is still theirs. The choice is still theirs to follow. And when they don't, he doesn't just say, oh, well, you're out of there. No, he gives them a chance. But there does come a time when he does remove those who are disobedient. Just saying. So we're moving on to verse 13 here. I'm coming to you now, but I say this while I am still in the world, so that you may have the full measure of my joy. Whoa. Jesus wants to get the full measure, not of your joy, of his joy. It's not a joy that we work up in ourselves or originates with us. It's the joy he's experiencing. It's a divine, perfect joy. Jesus is about to go to the cross, yet he had joy in spite of his circumstances. It was a joy greater than our circumstances. It's a joy that's not dependent on your circumstances. And it's a joy that rises above your circumstances. It's a well that springs up inside of us that gives us hope. That we can have joy in all circumstances. And when we look at God and honor his name, when we go through these trials, guess what happens? The blessing. In spite of the circumstances, whose name do we call on? The name of our Lord Jesus, yes. In John 15:11, Jesus says, you know, I've spoken this so that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be complete. I'm sorry, without Jesus, your joy isn't complete. If you're not experiencing the joy, if you're struggling saying, Lord, I don't know where that joy is, I've lost it. May I speak to this and just say, have you spent some time reminding yourself of what the Lord has done for you? In those circumstances, I have a little sign on my wall that I have to look at more often than not. It says this, speaking of God, how are you, God? How are you going to work this out for my good and your glory? In Romans 8:28, it says, we know that all things work to good. God works to good for those whom he loves, whom have been called according to his purposes. Can I encourage you this morning, if you're not feeling the joy, that you're looking at your circumstances and not at your God? Because he's given us the victory over all things. It may not work out the way you think it should, but watch what he does. How are you going to work it out, God? For my good, because it's always for our good and for his glory. Jesus is praying so that his disciples, including us, can hear and take hold of what he's saying here. and get a hold of the full measure of his joy in us. Moving on, verse 17, or 14, pardon me, and 15, it says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them for it. For they are not of this world anymore, than I am of this world. My prayer is not that you take them out of this world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Folks, stand on the word of God, get the word of God in you, read his word, hold on to his word, but guess what? The world is going to hate you when you don't conform to their way. Well, Jesus really didn't mean that. I'm sorry. Jesus says to love everybody and value everyone, but that doesn't mean that you value their choices that are scripturally set before us as debauchery and wrong and evil and lascivious. I can come up with all kinds of those. But you understand what I mean. It doesn't matter where you go. There's always some kind of justification. Oh, but Jesus loved everybody, therefore I can do whatever I want. And Jesus says, love them, but don't be like them. Don't conform to the patterns of this world. And he says, we're not of this world. We're of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. We have been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and put in the kingdom of light. We've become children of this and sons and daughters. Well, it doesn't say daughters. It does say sons, so I'm not sure. But we know what we mean by that. We are a part of the family of God, children of the Most High God. We come. We are a new creation. We got different DNA, and we're of a different bloodline. And we're hated for it. We're not of this world any more than Jesus is. And then Jesus says this, I'm not praying that you take them out of this world. Darn. What? I'm not praying that you take them out of this world. How many of you have ever said, Lord Jesus, just come and take me home? Yeah. You know, you've been in that. But he said, then we take a step back. Protect them from the evil one in this world. Protect them from this system that's going on here. Protect them. They are not of this world, even as I'm not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into this world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctified myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. See, I don't want you to take them out of the world, Lord. I'm sending them into the world. I'm sending them into the world by the power of my name and the power of the Holy Spirit. Go into all the world making disciples. Go take the good news. I'm setting them apart. I've cleansed them. That word sanctify is to cleanse, to purify, to separate unto God. You've been separated unto God. You're his. Anybody happy about that? Woo! I've sent them into the world. Let's move on here. My prayer is not for them alone. I've shared that. But my prayer is also for those who would believe in me through their message. That all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us. So the world may believe that you have sent me. That's a phenomenal statement there. That's a phenomenal thing that Jesus has prayed. May they also be in us so that the world may believe. You know, we are not just believers together here in this church. Or we could say, all the believers in the world. But you are connected with all the believers that ever were and all the believers that ever will be. We are all one. And I wish I could give you, my words don't, I don't have words for it. But it's a phenomenal thing. Jesus says there's a great cloud of witnesses encouraging us on. We're part of that. Encouraging us on in the faith. And we're one, there's a really cute little song, and I don't have time to share it with you today. It's called It's a Wonderful Dance by Godfrey Brittle, I think, or something like that. If you look it up on the internet and listen to it. It's really wonderful. But that we're in this dance together. We're a part of God, that he's in us and we're in him. It's a wonderful dance together. It's not about doing our own thing. It's about being a part of something bigger than ourselves, greater than ourselves. Unity in the body is about loving one another. And I'll tell you what, one of the things that I want you to, Holy Spirit, I'm just going to pray, Holy Spirit, help prick our hearts, help prick our spirits when we start getting involved in divisive squabbles. There's all kinds of them out there. Government, COVID, vaccination, da-da-da. We get caught up in squabbles that are divisive. And we're welcome to our opinion, but maybe we need to keep our opinion to ourselves. Because it brings division. And it's certainly not focused on Jesus. So I just put that out there. And again, all I'm saying is, what brings glory to Jesus? Squabbling brothers and sisters? Or those that live in unity? I have given them the glory. Verse 22 here, sorry. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. You're glory carriers. And in them, and I in them, and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. You know, think about that. Christ in us. God in Christ. So Father God's in us as well. Holy Spirit in us. And we're a part of all God's. Complete unity comes with him. Complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved me even and loved them even as you have loved me. Think about it. God loves you to the same extent that he loves Jesus. Most of us who've been a believer for a while, I don't say everyone, we kind of get that. But sometimes again, I come back to, we need to sit down and just think about that. He loves me like he loves Jesus. Man, that's incredible. I'm loved by the God of the universe. I'm loved as much as he loves Jesus, his own son, the perfect son, because I certainly am not that, except that I'm in him, except for what he's done in me. My perfection comes not from my hand, but from his. Verse 24, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory I have, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. And I'm going to say this, there's a higher glory. Come up here. Come up higher. And Jesus says, I want them to see it. I want them to see it. This isn't a when I die and go to heaven. I want them to see it. And that is something that's for us. What does that look like? I don't know. We need to go. We've heard people's stories of being in heaven. Come on. How many of you wouldn't mind a little visit? Come back with absolute change. There's a greater hook. John, island of Patmos, praying in the spirit, sees the hand from heaven reaching out and says, come up here. That's for us folks, not just for them. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. And they know you have sent me. I've made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. The love of God in us. I've made you known to them and will continue to make you known. We haven't come to the end of knowing God, right? In fact, I believe even when we get to the other side, when we get to heaven, when we're in glory, we're going to continue to get to know God, and we're just going to be amazed upon amazed upon amazed at the goodness of our God. It's not over, folks. Jesus will continue to make him known to us here on the earth, and we get to share that good news. We get to go out and share that good news with the people in this world. So they too may leave this world behind, that world system, and experience his goodness and his glory, experience the new life in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Why don't you stand with me as we pray this morning? I'm just going to go to my last slide here. Lord, we come to you this morning and we give you thanks, praise, and glory, for it's all yours. We thank you for what you're doing in us, how you prayed for us. We thank you for your protection and that you have sanctified us and brought us out of the world into your kingdom. We thank you, Lord, that even here, we're not out of this world, out of this earth, that you have sent us. And you said, go in my name and ask anything in my name. Father, we desire to see those outside these doors who do not know you come to know you, experience you, come into the new life, and out of the darkness of the tunnel, of the dark places of this world, into the light of your kingdom. Father, help us where we're struggling. Give us courage and boldness to step out into this world to take your good news. And Lord, I pray for the unity of us believers, that we would continue to love and grow in love towards one another, that the world would know that you had sent us and that you are who you say you are. We ask this all now in your beautiful, wonderful, precious name, Jesus. And it is precious. And all the believers said, amen, amen. Amen.